Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Life Masterclass podcast series. And this is one of the special ones each month where it's conversations with Carl and I sort of connect up with one of my colleagues and sort of we riff around a particular subject and particularly choosing colleagues that have got expertise in the area that I want to talk on. So we've got a cool subject coming up today. If this is, you know, enjoyable for you, do pass it on for me. I appreciate that. And don't hesitate to reach out if you've got any questions for me as a result of this conversation. As always, I like to keep things as practical as possible. So, you know, I'm all about practical tips, tools and strategies. So today I want to get practical about this thing. You know I've written a book, or you may or may not know, I've written a book called Decision Making Mastery, based on my time in the military, my time working NLP, coaching for the last 14 years, all of those pieces in together. So one of the things I'm always interested in is this idea of decision making and how we can increase our decision making skills. So one of the things, and I'm shortly going to introduce this person over to the side here called Kate, so I'll bring her in shortly, but I was just going to do my little riff in first. So what I want, I'm always looking at how can we make better decisions. So one of the things for me is about the information we bring into the decision-making process has a huge impact on the quality of the output that we get. So it's that idea of rubbish in, rubbish out. So I'm going to talk about truth, and you know, I think I've got the right person for that. Truth with a capital T. So if I put truthful information in, I'm likely to get a good result. If I put lies in, if I put crappy information, if I put truth with a small t, all of that sort of stuff, I'm less likely to get a good decision result out the back end. And, you know, my decisions, reflect on and influence my ability to co-create the experience I want in life. So I've introduced in, or I've asked Kate to join me for this conversation. So Kate's a spiritual teacher and a psychic channel. I met Kate a number of years ago through a mutual colleague, and then I've done some work with Kate. Kate specialises in doing, well, one of her specialties is a reading on life purpose. So she does these beautiful readings, and it just fascinated me. Like, she knew my name, like Carl Massey. Like, I'm no one famous or anything like that. And when I have this reading with me, and she describes what I do, and she described it better than what I describe what I do. So I'm like, she didn't get that off my, you know, about me on my website or anything like that. So that's where it's, you know, it lands with me, and I'm, you know, fascinated by the idea of drawing on all resources around us, not just the physical 3D, the seen and touch, but beyond that. And that's why I think it's beautiful to have people in our life that we can connect to that actually have the ability to access beyond, you know, the seen, the felt, you know, beyond the five senses. So I met Kate a few years ago. She did a reading for me, and she's done a reading for pretty much, you know, my circle. There's always someone, hey, you need to have a reading with Kate. So she's met a lot of my people. She's come along to some of the coaching programs and talked with my inner circle about intuition and some of these skills. So I thought I'd bring her into a broader conversation with those of you that are listening to the Life Masterclass podcast series. So I thought I'd get Kate to sort of give a bit of a background about how she came into being a spiritual teacher and psychic channel, and then we'll jump into this conversation about how can we discern truth, how can we use intuition, and what does it actually mean. So thank you very much for joining me, Kate. Please let us know a bit of the background of yourself, and then we'll get into the topic.
Hi, Carl. Thank you so much for inviting me today to speak with all of your guests. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. It's always a fascinating conversation with you. So I guess this journey for me began a long time ago in my childhood. I was always very perceptive and aware of energies and experiences, I guess, that other people around me couldn't acknowledge or say that they are experiencing as well, other than my sister, the next sister down, she also was experiencing these things, you know, and often it would happen in my bedroom at night when I was a little kid or going to a stranger's house or, you know, I had, you know, an invisible friend that my parents kind of, you know, let me set the table for and put the seatbelt on in the car, but, you know, they were just, that was my make-believe friend, that was Kate's make-believe world, and, you know, it kind of, I never really felt as I journeyed on through school that I fit in anywhere. I couldn't make sense of where I belonged or how I fit in, and I guess it's because often in the school zone or any sort of most mainstream life, spirit isn't really acknowledged or spoken about in the way that I experience it. So as far as all the careers that were, you know, on offer for me, I didn't, you know, art was maybe the closest I could get to, because, you know, the religious offerings that were given to me I knew weren't right as well. So I sort of went on a journey of discovering and researching lots of religion and lots of different things. But I really got brought back to it again. I was a ski instructor for a while period of time, and then I studied massage. And while I was studying massage, I started to notice that I was sensing and feeling these things very strongly with the people that I was working with my hands on. And it was really reminding me of the experiences I had as a child. And so then I started to become more and more fascinated in it and delved, way deeper into my spiritual practice and to study mediumship and lots of other skills that have kind of built on from there. But mediumship didn't really answer the big questions I had in my life. I had some very big questions about what are we all doing here? What's the point of our life? Why are people suffering? Because I was, around a lot of suffering also as a child in my family. And as I know now, everything's on purpose. There are no accidents. There are no mistakes. And so that was part of, you know, the prompting and the prodding of the universe to make me, you know, consider more deeply why people have experiences in their life and why some people's lives seem to be very calm and smooth and other people seem to be sort of rugged and like mountain ranges of experience of, you know, conflict. Then I had my own experience also, a big health condition that sort of took me on a path. And then I remembered a very long experience, but I was in a lot of pain. And I remembered that when I was 8 years old, I was taught to meditate by an Indian guru that came out. My dad took me to meet him with a friend of his. And so I started putting into practice these skills that I actually had a lot of understanding of because I'd learned so I started meditating every day, and while I was meditating, more and more of these messages were downloading in me, and I was getting guidance to send this message to this person and this person. And I was in a hospital bed at the time, and all I could do was just send like maybe four lines. And so I just out of the blue, this person they told me to send this message to, I did that, and then the person's written back and gone, whoa, like what is going on? That was really helpful. I needed that right now. How did you know? And I was just like, okay. So then I just followed the breadcrumbs along the way, and the journey's kind of led me here. Fantastic. And it's just been the most amazing experience, and it's, taken me out of every valley up to, this message, this information that comes from your intuition that everybody has.
I'm fascinated by the thing, and I'm interested to hear a little bit more on it, what we learn from being sick. So I think we've been conditioned to think that getting ill is just a bad thing, like there's no good of it, as opposed to, you know, there's the opportunity within that to really level up in an upgrade way beyond where we're at. So that's the opportunity. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it, and also what you learnt most about your health experience as far as my region.
Yeah, I believe that health problems are actually one of the greatest gifts that the universe gives you, and that there's a path and like a train track that we're meant to be on. And if we're off the train track and living over here, the universe has this way of pushing you back onto the path you're meant to be on, and a health problem is one of its greatest ways it does that, because it makes you, first of all, well, it's interesting. You know, often you see an image of someone talking to, you know, God or the universe. Yeah. They're on their knees and they're praying and they're looking up to the sky for help. Yeah. So often if the health crisis is bad enough, it will bring you to your knees.
Yeah.
And then you stop and you're asking for help from something greater than you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a very powerful tool.
Yeah.
And so then in that moment, then you start thinking about yourself and what can I do to become better. And so then you go on this journey of looking at all sorts of things like diet, nutrition, meditation perhaps, you know, then acknowledging your mindset and your fears and your thought processes and any kind of emotional upheaval that was, you know, either from your childhood or also a past life or also lineage that comes down to you from your ancestors.
Yeah.
So we're like kind of chain breakers and we're here to process that information but make peace with it that it doesn't any longer cause, you know, tugs of, you know, distress in us. So you're unraveling all that and unpackaging that, and basically it's love. It's learning to love yourself and learning to take care of your body and to nurture it and to be kind to it and to tell yourself that you're beautiful and that you're special and that you matter and that all of your innuendos and you know, mindsets and little traits that you had as a child, maybe you used to run really fast and couldn't sit still, or maybe like me, you couldn't concentrate in class and you'd just wander off and be always getting in trouble for not listening and being distracted. And then you realize that all those little things are actually your superpower and they're actually your gift. But you have to acknowledge it first for yourself. Yeah. No one on the outside, well, you're lucky if you've had people on the outside growing up that have acknowledged it and seen it, but quite often it's you that has to, you know, give yourself credit for who it is that you are and speak to yourself kindly and go on this journey of learning to listen to your inner voice and the voice of, you know, your inner self that has been shut down and ignored and compressed and told no and be quiet and sit still and, you know, stop being so loud or whatever, you know, and it's this pushing and pushing, but actually we're this expansive being and we're so much more than this physical object, this, you know, body we're told we are. We actually have, as well as emotions and feelings that need to be expressed, we also have an energetic layer that goes way beyond our reach. And, you know, learning to feel that and listen to that is, a very powerful process as well.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And there's a healing. As much as it's uncomfortable at the moment, there is a healing opportunity for us all to really heal some things for us personally, within our families, community, and with the world at large. And that really is an interesting experience and not always a comfortable experience. And, you know, that's the thing with people having an illness or having a health thing, as wanting to avoid the feelings of discomfort and realizing that's part of the process. And that's part of, I think, capturing our attention as well. So sometimes, you know, illness might take us off the grid, wipe us out so we can't go to work. So then we're alone sitting there with the space to actually take the attention inwards and ask those questions about why am I doing what I'm doing? Do I love what I'm doing? Why am I clocking on and clocking off at that particular thing? Why am I still involved in this thing over there? So, yeah, I think it's a beautiful thing, and I think that's a good message for everyone to start off this conversation is, you know, don't think it's bad or avoid it or try and suppress it or numb it out. And that's, you know, an unfortunate thing with a lot of the modern medical practices and allopathic practice, a pharmaceutical thing is, you know, let's take something to suppress, to numb, to distract or whatever. Sometimes it's about feeling. And that's what this conversation is about. It's about, you know, how do we feel, or how do we sense, how do we see, how do we understand the truth so we can, like, you know, make the best decisions based on the most credible information. So I'm curious to know, just generally, what are your tools or practices, or how do you go about discerning truth when there's, you know, lots of things flying around the airwaves?
That's a great question. So I think it's always a multiple of things. It's also multiple layers, as well as with a health journey or even, you know, what's going on. It doesn't have to be health. It can be a business problem or a relationship problem, any of those things. It's always multidimensional. And yep. Intuition is one aspect of it. So it's always good to back up what you're, you know, getting intuitively with other facts or information that you've, you know, yeah. gathered as well, and use that as a, you know, confirmation tool as to what you're already doing. But we have this incredible guidance system within us that is like when you're driving, the, you know, map system that is, you know, talking to yeah. you and telling you which way to go. And often a lot of it is about trust. And trusting that there actually is something greater than you that you're not necessarily aware of maybe yet at this time, but it is there, and there is a way to develop a communication form with this energy, really. Yeah. And so it's becoming aware of your bigger energy and learning how to connect into that energy. And knowing that there are five main ways that your body system reads that energy. Yep. So the first one's is being clairvoyant. So that's what it's called. It's clear seeing. Yep. And so it's using your mind's eye, but basically it's your imagination. So it's not like I can see you sitting there or I can see the dog. It's like if I say to you now, imagine an elephant with a pink bow on its tail with a bucket of water, you can, in your mind's eye and your imagination, you can see this image. Yeah. So that those images talk to you and you get those images. Another one is clairaudient, where you hear the information. Yeah. And that information that you hear, sometimes it can be an external voice, but that's very rare, usually if you're in great danger. But most often it will be just your own thoughts. Yeah. So it's your own thoughts that you learn to listen to that are talking to you. So there's, yeah, clairaudient, and there's claircognient, where you just know something. You don't know how you know it, but just out of the blue, it just, I know that I need to move forward, or I know that I need to stop talking to this person, or you just have a knowing. The fourth one is clairsentient, where you feel an experience in your body. You might feel sick to the stomach while you're talking to someone, or you walk into a room and it feels really tense. Mm. And you're just like, I know people are fighting in here, even that no one's speaking. You can tell that tension.
Yeah.
And that's your body feeling and picking up on those feelings. And then the fifth one is called clairgustient, which is a mixture of sort of all this. Yeah, it's your taste and your smell. Okay. So you're receiving a message. So sometimes if someone's loved one that's passed over has come in the room, I might smell mothballs or baking or tobacco smoke or something. Or you can taste, you know, there's a saying in language like, oh, that person left a bitter taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
Or a sour, that person was very sour, you know. There's all these little words in our language that sort of lead to all these experiences and sensations that are moving through our body.
Yeah.
But then you ask yourself, well, how do I trust that? How do I know if that's me or if that's something that I'm just making up with my imagination?
Yeah.
And so it comes with practice, and it comes with training, and it comes with, you know, learning to decipher things. But the best way to start developing that, well, first of all, it's trust. First of all, it's becoming trusting that there really is something there. Yeah. And you have to step into that belief system of going, okay, I'm open to receiving some guidance. And for some people that can be a bit spooky, or, you know, you can have your back up a bit. So it's learning to put that out. Meditation is just the most powerful tool. Yeah. Like, so being anything, though, that leads you to that, if you feel like you're the sort of person that can't meditate, or you haven't gone on that journey yet, just spending time alone is really powerful. We're so busy talking on the phone to people, watching television, in our workplace, that you're picking up on the energy of everybody else, and it's everyone else's opinion, and it's all noise and information that your body's feeling. And so when you're alone, especially in nature, then you're allowing yourself to decompress from other people's energy and feeling the pure energy of nature. And then it gives you the opportunity for that still, quiet voice inside you that's whispering to you, that's trying to give you that message. And you can, you know, feel it, see it, hear it. But often we're a little bit scared to do that. That's why people often have super busy lives and super stressful lives. And, you know, they don't realize that they're actually caught up in this sort of merry-go-round of stuff, because it keeps them away from that little feeling or that little voice, because that little feeling or voice might be saying to you, hey, this relationship isn't right anymore. Or come over here. Yeah. Hey, this job isn't suiting you anymore. Yeah. Come over here. And often these things seem to you like they're not practical. Like, imposterous. Like, how could I possibly leave the job? I've got this, and all the problems, that thing. So another thing is really good is to acknowledge the information. So start to get a little book, keep it with you, and at night, you know, gratitude's a really cool thing, but also acknowledging the wisdom and the guidance that you've seen throughout the day. So if you get a little synchronicity, even if you think, oh, that could have happened, or I could have just tried to make it happen, just write it down anyway. Yeah. Just go, okay, just for the time being, I'm just going to live in the belief zone rather than the non-belief. Yeah. It's kind of like a decision you have to make. Am I going to live in this room, or am I going to live in this room? Because, you know, I've worked with people a lot, and I've taught them all these tools, and then they keep coming back to me, oh, but, you know, how do I know? How do I trust? Yeah. I said, you just have to start to go, okay, and do it with little things at first, like just choosing which jam to buy at the supermarket. Do you know what I mean? Like, just say you're starting to reduce the amount of sugar in your life and you're at the supermarket and you're trying to choose which jam. Before you pick up the jar and turn it around and read the ingredients, just give yourself a little opportunity of a little test of just going, okay, and you call in your intuition and you say, which one has the least sugar? And just allow yourself, you may get a feeling that one is more, you might just think, it just looks prettier. I like the packaging. Don't doubt, no little, you know, negative little voice. Don't listen to that. Just listen to the one that's saying it's prettier. And you're like, okay, whatever it's, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or, you know, just you get drawn in a certain way. You might, you know, pick up one and get more, you know, and just allow it. And then once you've just said, okay, I feel like this is the right one, then turn it around and read. And you know what? At the beginning, if you get it wrong, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's just like when little kids are learning to walk. If someone falls over, the little child, you don't give it a hard time. Oh, I can't believe you fell over again. You know, you just like actually like keep encouraging them. You got it. You're going to do this. It's going to be okay. And eventually they're walking, and then they're running and riding a bike and all the fun things that happen. So it's the same with yourself when you're on a new journey of any type of journey. You know, you're forming this relationship with yourself and with this energy that's coming in and around you. And it's important to, make it a sacred space, like knowing that you're sacred and
Yeah, I like the idea of that trust, and that can be a challenging thing for people depending on how they've brought up life experience and that sort of stuff. So I like, you know, just the land of possibility. So possibility means you don't have to go, it's all going to work out wonderful, but it's possible. And everyone's open to the idea that it is possible that things will swing in my favour, that things will work out for me. So I think people are open to that piece. One thing that came to mind as you were talking was, I think we've been conditioned to intellectualise so much. So, you know, we actually need to relearn how to actually feel. You know, and I think that's the big gap for a lot of people is I actually don't know how to feel, or my sensory thing. And that's why I like the idea of you talking about just doing these little testers along the way just to, like, build that muscle up. Like, you know, can you sense a different feeling when you're doing this? You've got a decision to make. Can you sense, you know, a pulling, you know, remove yourself from your head, you know, can you actually, you might even just stand there and say, is my body leaning into this or is my body leaning back from this? And, like, start to bring the sense back in to the body, definitely. One of the things that came to mind, and I'm interested for your thoughts on it, is a lot of times we're told stuff and, you know, I want to bring more feeling into it, a more intuitive sense into discernment rather than just believing words. And I think we've certainly seen over the last couple of years lies or porky pies. So, you know, people just believing the word and not using these other skills that they've got, these other feeling intuitive skills to discern, is there something else under it? I think I've got better at not just believing what I've been told. I used to be in the military and I was surrounded by other officers of a high integrity. So I got into the habit of believing that if someone said something, they actually meant it. And then, you know, moving to Bali, and, you know, Bali's like a little bit of loosey-goosey, and there's some interesting types that set themselves up in Asia. And I, you know, had some shocking experiences because I just believed people at the words that they said. So it's not, you know, being a negative person or a pessimist or a whatever, to actually go, no, I'm going to have a little bit of extra discernment. I'm not just going to take someone's words at face value. I want to bring in all of me when I'm deciding on, you know, are those words with a capital T, or are those words with a small T, or are those words complete nonsense? So what's that bring up for you, or what's your thoughts on the intellectualizing and the bringing the body into it?
Well, for everybody, it really is a journey that we're on about trusting the outside world or trusting the inside world. And everyone's at a different, you know, level of existence. And you can't judge anyone, I guess, for different, you know, because for them at that time, that decision might be right for them. But you have to always bring it back to yourself of what's right for me right now. And like you said, with that tool of your body moving forward or moving back, that's a really very powerful tool. Yeah. You can also do other ones, like if you have to make a decision, you can write on a piece of paper what the two decisions are and then scrunch them up or fold them up and write on one of them one and two and then move them, you know, so you don't know what they are.
Yep.
And then put them up in your mind and just be ask yourself which one is drawing me, which one do I feel more connected with, which direction.
Yep.
And there's all these little exercises you can do to start anchoring in your body and moving out from the noise and the distraction that's out there. So, yeah, everything's an energy, and people often, like in sales or something, like if you're you know, they're very good at influencing you and trying to draw you into, you know, their way of thinking because they're trying to get a sale out of you, or, you know, other energy thing experiences might be trying to get you to, you know, be scared or fearful, you know. So it's about, trusting your own experience more than what is being spoken on the outside. And that happens by these small steps that you take, this little bit by little bit, you know what I mean? Like go for a walk and let yourself get lost. Yeah. And then say, do I go this way or this way? And don't turn the map on, you know what I mean? Because it's just become habit. I think probably like, you know, 200 years ago before there was, you know, technology and all this stuff, I think people's intuition probably would have been, you know, ramped up a bit more. But I think we, you know, and I think you would meet someone and be able to know more about them because you're used to being in silence. Yeah. Silence is so powerful. And so you would just know the difference between your space and your silence and, you know, the outside experience. Like, I guess it goes back to, it's trusting your nervous system. So if you're out in nature, do you know what I mean? You'd know how to read like a bird or is it a tiger, you know? And am I safe sitting with a bird or is this tiger giving me, you know, the warning bells to run? But we're already so wound up and in such fight, flight responses that it's about lowering your energy field and learning to ground yourself and learning to, like you said, embody yourself. But it's a step-by-step, process.
I mean, I was working with a client yesterday and I was sort of saying that, you know, try and get in life where you're working at about 80% capacity so you've got space for space in general for magic to come in, but also you've got space if life throws you a curveball, you've got the ability to, you know, absorb that and handle that for a while. I think we have been taught to like be go, go, go. So we're running at high capacity so we don't actually have the time to do that feeling. We don't have the space. We don't have the space to create those times of silence where we do re-plug back into the magnificence of self. And I sort of use a catchword as of, you know, we've been led to believe we're less powerful than we are. Like, and I think, again, this idea of if we do create this space, I think naturally we will start increasing our intuitive sense, because again, I agree, I think it's there already and it's been, you know, part of our makeup for thousands and thousands of years, you know, going way back. And, you know, our reliance on technology has got us a little bit weaker in the use of that, and maybe parts of, you know, that system have atrophied a bit because we just haven't used them. So we're being called forward now to like, okay, we need to, you know, get a little bit better at this intuiting stuff, discerning stuff, deciding what information is good information. You know, I've been doing lots of reading. I always do lots of reading, but going way back to even looking at stuff like the evolution of species and, you know, the terminology survival of the fittest versus elimination of the weakness, like those were the two theories that were posited at that time. Darwin was more upper class, so he's more likely his position is going to land and that supports that elite class, as opposed to it's just elimination of the weakest. You know, if we don't take care of ourselves, obviously we're going to, like, you know, be passing away, transitioning onto whatever our next part. If we take care of ourselves mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, psychologically, we're more likely going to thrive in life. And that's not survival of the fittest. Like, that's just, I'm taking care of this temple of self and I'm navigating my way. And because I'm doing things like Kate's talking about, I'm becoming more intuitive so I can come back onto that train track without having to have that, you know, health scare off to the side. I'm becoming silent so I can hear the little rumblings of you're off course, you need to come back on, otherwise is this health thing coming? We can't hear that if we're too busy. We can't hear that if we're not in silence. So I love that idea of silence, and I love the idea of space and the practicality of sort of operating at 80%. So we've got room for that space redefining what life is about. It's not about this striving, thriving, achieving, whether it's the financial, whether it's the job status or whatever. You know, and these are, I imagine, the questions that Kate's been asking herself for decades. You know, why are we here? Like, what's it about? It really isn't about the most possessions. You know, that's not the winning thing. So, back to you, Kate.
Completely. No. And it's understanding that you have, like, it's now becoming more and more common knowledge that you know, your physical body, you need to be fit and strong, you know. And so people know now that it's important to allocate a certain amount of time per day, per week, towards just purely physical fitness and strength, you know.
Yep.
And it's quite obvious what the outcome is if you do that. And so it's that you have to, because society doesn't put much value, like you said, on intuition, it's not really spoken about yet, you know what I mean? Yeah. But years ago, yoga wasn't really spoken about. It was just some, you know, unusual hippies maybe with dreadlocks going to India or something. Yeah. But now it's really cool and it's common knowledge and everyone's running down the street with a yoga mat and, you know, it's part of this sort of exercise life. And soon more and more it will become aware that we have this energetic body. So we have, you know how like cats have whiskers and it's like that's part of their antenna that is like feeling where they're going. If they chop the whiskers off, it's not a good thing, you know. Yeah. Or snails, you know how their eyes kind of pop out and they can feel, and then if they touch them, they retract in.
Yeah.
So most people are looking around retracted and tight and it's about opening and expanding and being still and feeling you have chakra systems and an energy body, like I said, that it is possible to learn how to feel that goes beyond your fingers, the physical fingers, out energetically. And when you learn to sort of feel that, it's like you're walking around and it's like an antenna for the receiver of your phone or your radio, you know, the antenna on the roof. You're picking up these signals, but it takes time. And so, like you said, meditation or these, you know, if it had to begin with just being still and quiet, and then nature, you know, is actually the way, is how you develop and grow that and, well, learn to feel this antenna system that's out there, but it's very subtle. It's so subtle. So you'll think you felt something, but it's really easy for your doubtful mind to just go, oh, no, it was nothing. Just ignore that. Do you know what I mean? That was just the wind or something pulling my hair or whatever, you know, like, and so there's the negative doubtful voice and then there's the positive little quiet voice that's giving you guidance and it's a will. And so you have to, if you sit and listen to this negative voice all your life, you know what I mean? Then this one's just going to be dormant and internal and not be there. So you've got to learn to divert your attention and not look at that and allow this and give more attention to this one. And eventually this one quietens down and this one gets louder and then it gets like a loud speaker and you just, you know, going, whoa, don't walk that direction, turn around. And then, you know, the things that you get shown and like you could never have known. There's no way of knowing 3 months down what's going to happen other than having this antenna have told you, because logically it doesn't make sense, you know?
Yeah. And that's cool. And I'm just like looking at time there. And what I like to do is like summarize like the key, you know, takeaways from it. So my sense of a summary, and, you know, let me know if I've missed anything, is this idea of creating space, and within that space, settling into silence. And it's within that silent space that we're more likely to become more aware of. And you mentioned those five different modalities, and it might be that within those five we're stronger in, you know, one or a couple of those. So it might be that I'm more likely to feel the sensory thing as opposed to, you know, hear, something like that. So I guess when we get into that silent space, we can start to get a sense of which of those are the things that are, you know, providing us the most useful information, maybe the most clear source of information as well. We talked about trust, you know, and if trust is a difficult thing for you to believe in, you know, trust of the universe, source, God, Allah, life, Mother Nature, whatever it is, if that's a little bit of stretch, it's like open to the possibility that things can swing in your favour, open to the possibility that life really does love you and life loved you into being, and, you know, this meandering course, this course you're on in life, you know, life does sort of have these tracks for you, as Kate said, and like is sort of trying to steer you back on. So life isn't attacking you because life doesn't love you. You know, life loves you beyond your imaginings. So, you know, allowing yourself to receive that. You know, don't think that discomfort is automatically something wrong. That discomfort might be the thing that is necessary to capture your attention. And once it captures your attention, it might be, now that you've got your attention, find that space, find that stillness and see what's revealed in the stillness. I love what Kate talked about, like those little micro tests that you do along the way, choosing the jam. You know, if you make the choice that you want to eat less sugar, which is a beautiful choice for each of us, there's no one that choice wouldn't benefit. So, you know, try that out. Like, you know, see if you can sense. You know, I like peanut butter. So it's like, which of the peanut butters have got the least amount of sugar in them? So, you know, that might be the choice thing. So I think that's a beautiful thing as well. I'm just seeing if I've got anything, any other things here. And again, the other point I talked about was this 80%, so not going full on, so we've actually got, you know, space to do this stuff, to drop back in. Kate talked about practices, meditation as, you know, one of the primary practices for creating space, for creating stillness, and for being able to drop back into and drop into that intuitive space. So I think, you know, take away, you know, if you don't have a meditative practice, or a mindfulness practice, Kate talked about just being in nature. So it might be that it's not, you know, you don't feel that you're ready to sit down in meditation. It might be sort of walk outside, sit in the park, take your shoes off, bare feet on the ground, and, you know, just give yourself 10 minutes to just sense what's going on around you. Like, what are you sensing? Have a look at the birds and, you know, what are your sensings going on with those? And, you know, plug yourself a little bit more into nature and plug yourself out of, you know, we talked about technology might be one of the things that takes you away or further away from your intuitive sense, your innate intuitive sense. So I think those are the main things. Anything else that you wanted to add to that, Kate, as summary pieces?
Yeah, I think you have, you know, done a really good job of summing it all up. But it's just that, yeah, whatever experience you're going through, whatever's causing you any type of discomfort or pain in your life, just try and change the wording of it, like that it's not anything bad or that it shouldn't be happening, because everything is happening on purpose and everything is a gift. And it's about being able to understand, yeah, what that gift is that's been given to you. And the gift is always leading to you to what it is you're meant to be doing and finding your, yeah, happiness and peace.
Sensational. So thank you so much, Kate, for joining me. And as I said, I'll put in the show notes Kate's website. It's Kate Williams. It's forgotten how to actually say a URL. So it's katewilliams.com.au, but I'll put it in the show notes. And if you're interested in getting a life purpose reading, I highly, highly recommend that. So do get in touch with Kate about that. And like I said, I'll have her details in the show notes. So thank you so much, Kate, for joining me and for everyone listening in wherever you are on this beautiful, gorgeous, incredible planet of ours. All the very best and take care. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Bye, Carl. Thank you.